Good morning, good Erev Shabbos. Hope you have a wonderful day. We dedicate this class our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. We all are wounded, full and speedy recovery. We all hostages return home safely. We dedicate this class. So yesterday we learned an argument within Rabban and Rav. Two arguments. One, whether an identifying mark that could be erased, is it reliable, or will the owner give up hope? Rabbi says it's not a simon because the owner will disappear. If it's left in the public thoroughfare, people are going to step in it and will erase the mark, so the owner gives up hope, therefore it belongs to the finder. And Rabbi says no, that the owner will not disappear. And the other argument is whether location is a simon. Now, there's two ways of interpreting that. What does it mean, location is an identifying mark? Either person says, announces the address, I found something in this address, tell me what I found. That's the identifying mark. Or a person says, I found this and this, tell me where I found it. If a person gives a location, obviously it was placed there, it didn't fall out of his bag. So he will remember, he'll tell you exactly, yes, I left it in this address. So that's an argument that Abba says it's not a simon, and Abba says it is a simon. It is an identifying mark. The Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. And 23a, the 8th line from the top. Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. We learned the Mishnah Kikash on Nachtim and loaves of a baker. It belongs to the finder's keeper, because it has no identifying mark.
They're uniform. They're like,
yeah, exactly. The production line, the baker. Hashal balabai is, but if it's privately baked, which each privately baker in the home has their own unique signature, right? My time. Why? Even this was similar. There is identifying mark. He made the other difference in the shirt. Because he knows inish, the bread of a person, inish is called on that person's name because everyone bakes it according to his will, according to his own shape. So we see, here the Mishnah doesn't make a distinction between the public and the private, no matter where you find it. Notalamachris, you must announce it and return it to the owner. We see Simon Asaladaris have a Simon. Even though it's in the public fear, it's going to get stepped on and maybe it could erase the Mars. Nevertheless, it's considered a Simon. But this refutes the Rabbi's opinion that an identifying mark that could be erased is not. The owner will disappear, he won't rely on it, he will think to himself, will surely be erased. Here the Mishnah says, not so. Bread, a private, baked from a private person, not commercially baked bread. Even if you find it in the public, you have to announce it because the owner does not disappear. Amalach Rabba, Rabba will answer you. Awesome, over there in the time, you're not allowed to step on food. Since people are going to avoid stepping on food, right? You're not allowed to step on food. So therefore, you don't have to worry that maybe you'll get a raise. Why will you get a raise? People will be careful not to step on food. So you have to pick it up. You don't just pass by. You see food on the floor, you pick it up. It's not only you don't step on food, you don't even pass by and just leave it lying on the floor. You have to pick it up. In the street, in the public street, you also have goyim. Goyim don't mind stepping or leaving the food on the floor. And they'll even step on the food. Taisus asks, if you're worried about goyim, maybe they'll just pick it up. maybe they'll just take it. He should ask. Goyim will just take it. Maybe that's why the owner gives up hope. He says that the goyim nachrim chayshalik shaf. They're worried that maybe someone left it there for magical purpose, black magic, to hurt the people who are passing by. So therefore, they're going to be careful not to step in. So they're not going to. It's not going to erase. They won't erase identifying marks. But you have animals and dogs. who will step in it and erase it? It's a public street. You have more dogs than people here in the city. So yeah, dogs will step in it. But the answer is Basa, the Shkicha Behemoth Club. I'm talking about a place that doesn't have dogs. Right. A religious community that you can't find a single dog. Shkicha Behemoth Club. But you're right, if it's a place where you have dogs, then you're right, then the owner will surely disappear. And then you can get to keep it. Gemara says, let's say this argument in Rabba and Rabba is actually an ancient argument between Tanoim and Rabbi Yehuda. We learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda called Dovish, yes, we learn now Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says anything that has something different about it. Unusual. Anything that has unusual, Chayav L'Achriz, you must announce it. Ketzen, the Mishnah spells it out. How is this? Matzah Eagle, he found the pressed cake of dried figs. And in it is a sharv, a piece of clay pottery. Kikar, a loaf of bread, and inside he has money stuffed inside. And that's the simon. So he says, then you have to announce it. It's not just lost. There's an identifying mark. He can say, yeah, you found something unusual there. So Miklau, the Tanakama, this is Rabbi Huda's opinion. Rabbi Huda means he's coming to argue. Because the rabbis, the majority of rabbis hold differently. They hold that El Shaloi, even in this case, it's finders, keepers, you get to keep it to Rabbi Huda, because they hold. So Rabbi Huda, they thought, what's the argument? What's the logical argument between the rabbis and Rabbi Huda? According to everyone, any identifying mark. Any identifying mark that you didn't make that mark. It just happened. Right. Right. Or the pressed fig, a piece of clay. Right. A piece of pottery fell in there and it stayed in there. It's also have a simen because we say, why did the owner leave it there? The owner left it there. It's a perfect identifying mark. And everyone holds that everyone holds mavirin aloichlin, and you pass by food, you don't have to pick it up. People don't pick it up and even step in it. So therefore, my love is simen osel darzmus. What's the argument? They're arguing about whether identifying marks that could be erased is a considered identifying mark. The rabbis hold it's not considered an identifying mark. Surely the owner will disappear because they'll think it's in the public fear. Surely people are going to step in it and erase the identifying mark. Another one holds. So we see that this argument in Rabbi and Rabbi is that's the argument in Rabbi Huda and the rabbis. In the name of Rabbi, he said, if it would enter your mind, look at Sabbath on the camera, Simon also does love a Simon. According to your explanation, you can ask. We're going to learn in the following Mishnah, Kikarish of Balabayas, which will say, Rabbi. You have to announce it. If you find private loaves of bread that were baked personally, privately, not commercial loaves of bread, even in the street, you have to announce it. Why? Am I machriz? It's going to be erased. How could you make a distinction? The rabbis make a distinction between loaves of bread, commercial loaves of bread, and regular loaves of bread. And even if it's in the public sphere, you have to announce it. Why? If the rabbis, the reason why the rabbis say that these identifying marks of the pottery that's found in the pressed figs cake or in the loaf of bread that you don't have to announce it because it will get erased. So then why loaves were baked privately? Why do you have to announce? So why didn't he get to keep it?
Hello.
Exactly. Hello, that's what Rabbi Zvid said. The explanation is different. The Kuli Alma, everyone holds. Like Rabbi says, everyone holds. It's unanimous. My opinion is unanimous. Everyone agrees that even a sign that could be erased, it's considered a sign. The owner does not disappear. He hopes that maybe it won't be erased. They have to identify. And everyone holds. But people pass, yeah, they leave the food on the floor and they'll step in it. But the Hacha, here they're arguing, you know, the arguments are bad, but the Simon Abba Melech Amifligi. A mark, identifying mark that the owner did not make, it just happened on its own. Tana comes up with the rabbis, oh, the Simon Abba Melech, it's not considered a Simon. It's not considered an identifying mark. Because it just happened on its own. It's not an identifying mark. Who the Sabbath Abba Simon, who the old it is a Simon. Maybe, how do you know the owner even noticed it? If it happened on its own, maybe the owner didn't even notice it. So he'll disappear. He doesn't know there's a simon. How do you even know the owner knows it, that there is an identifying mark? What are the chances that a money fell into a piece of bread and the owner will leave it there? He's surely not even aware of it. Or he's going to leave a piece of pottery in the middle of the figs, the pressed fig cake. Surely he didn't even notice it. So how can it be an identifying mark? So as far as the owner goes, he thinks there is no identifying mark and he's going to disappear. That's the opinion of the rabbis. But Rabbi Huda Savar Abba Simon says, no, surely it happened on its own, it fell in there, but maybe the owner is aware and he'll use it as an identifying mark. He won't disappear. Igadami, others say that the explanation is as follows. Sabru, the rabbis thought in Yeshiva, they thought, Kulam, everyone holds. Simon Abba Melev Abba Simon. That is considered an identifying mark, even if the owner didn't make it. It happened on its own. Simon, not only daughters, Abba Simon. And identifying marks that could be a race was not considered a Simon. So, my love, the Mavid and Alechim Kamikin. The argument in the rabbis and Rabbi Huda is whether you're allowed to leave food lying on the floor. The rabbis hold, yeah, people leave food lying on the floor and they'll step in it, therefore it will be erased. And you don't have to announce it. But like we said, everyone agrees that signs could be erased. Identifying rights could be erased is not, the owner does not rely on it, he disappeared. You're not allowed to leave food lying on the floor. So surely you're going to pick it up. So the identifying marks will not be erased. According to your explanation, if you hold that the rabbis hold that that identifying marks will be erased, the owner does not rely on it and will disappear. And so too, you said that the rabbis hold and people leave food on the floor and step in it. And therefore, it will be erased. So the owner disappears, and that's why you get to keep it. If that's the case, how do you explain? How do you explain why the rabbis hold the privately baked loaf breads that are found even in the public? You have to announce it, you don't keep it. Why? You just said that food, people step over food. Don't pick it up and step over food. And it'll erase identifying marks, so why isn't it finders keepers? Everyone holds like Rava's opinion. The simon also does have a simon. That even my identifying marks that could be erased is considered why the owner does not disappear. Everyone holds that, yeah, people pass by food, they don't pick it up, and therefore they step in the bach over here. But then, even the simon about Melo Kamifli, they're arguing whether it's considered a simon that the owner did not make. It's not. It's something that happened on its own. Tanakam saw a simon. It's not considered a simon. Maybe the owner is not even aware of it. But that's how Rabbah will explain the Mishnah. How will Rabbah explain the Mishnah? He'll tell you the kuli alm. Everyone holds like Rabbah's opinion. Simon also lidodes lav a simon. That is a identifying marker could be erased. It's not considered an identifying mark. Everyone agrees with that. The owner disappears. He thinks to himself, surely he'll be erased. Hey, you're not allowed to leave food lying on the floor to let it get stepped on, abused. You have to treat food with respect. Bach over here with Simon Abba Melech HaMiflegi. They're arguing whether a simon that happens on its own, identifying mark happens on its own, it was considered an identifying mark on the Kamasava Simon, it'll have a simon. It's not an identifying mark. The owner of the spear is not even aware of it. The owner surely knows about it, and it's considered. That's he'll use it as an identifying mark. And that's why he says, Rabbi Huda says, you have to return it. Rabbi Zvid says, this is a general rule when it comes to lost and found. Even the Amr, when owner says, woe to me, I lost money. It means he's despairing. It's over. It's yish. Vai, woe. You give up hope.
He definitely gave up.
That's they say, yish shalom. If a person gives up hope, shalom das. Without das. A person has das, he never give up hope. There's always hope. As long as you're breathing, there's always hope. Only if it has an in other words, even if it has an identifying mark, if it doesn't have an identifying mark, it doesn't have to say anything. The moment he finds out about it, the moment that we know the owner is aware, he checks his pockets and he knows it's empty, he doesn't have to say anything. He surely gave up hope. It had no identifying mark. But even if it has an identifying mark, if we hear him say, whoa, I lost, then it means he's despairing. Now, why is this different in the case of theft? Do you remember in the case of theft? Even if you hear the owner saying he gives up hope, it does not belong to the thief. It's only when the thief transfers it to someone else, he sells it to someone else, and he gives it away to someone else who inherits to one of his inheritors, and then between the combination of the despair and the transfer of property, it belongs to that person.
Right.
But the thief himself, it's not enough.
Never acquired. Properly.
Oh. Because since he stole it. The difference is, because even though because the thief took it illegally, the moment he stole it, he has an obligation to return it to the owner. The one who finds it, even though when he found it, it had an identifying mark and it belonged to the owner, so doesn't he have a mitzvah to give it back to the owner? But when he hears the owner say afterwards, after he picks it up, he hears the owner say, oy vey, I lost. It means he's despairing. So since he didn't do anything illegal, he picked it up legally, he found something.
Yeah.
So therefore we say that the moment he hears the owner giving up hope, it's his. He doesn't have to return.
Okay, he picked it up, right.
Incorrect. If you find it and the owner still belonged to the owner, then you must return it. And afterwards he gives up hope, it's too late. Once you find it, when you found it, it belonged to the owner, he did not despair. Then, for example, something that has an identifying mark. There's no reason in the world he would despair. So even if later on you hear him, after you picked it up already, you hear him say he despaired, then you must return it. Because when the moment you picked it up, it belonged to him. Just like Abaye says, until he consciously despairs, it belongs to the person. Even though once he finds out, he will surely despair. It belongs to the owner. So when you picked it up, you became obligated to restore to the owner, and even though later on, when he does find out, he will despair, it's too late. You already have an obligation to return it to the owner. But if you heard, even if it had... Yeah, according to Abaye. Rava is saying, even according to Rava, in the case it has identifying, but you heard him say, oh, I lost something, I'll never find it, and then you find it, then it belongs to you. Because when you picked it up, the owner gave up hope already. Another thing, the law is, if you find bundles of stalks that have no identifying mark in the public here, in the public street, belongs to you, to the finder. But if you find it in the private domain, it depends. If it fell out, because the owner disappears, how is he going to find it? He has no idea. There's no identifying marks. He doesn't know where he lost it. But if it appears that the person left it, he placed it there, and then he went to the bathroom or something. He went shopping.
Left it in a nice neat pile.
Right. Then you have to announce it. Announce that someone lost something in this location. Tell me what I found, or I found this. Tell me where I found it. In both of these cases, when we said that you're allowed to keep it, if you find it in a public domain, or if you find it in the private domain and it was obviously fell, it wasn't placed down there. When is this bedavar shem besimin? Only if it has no identifying mar. Bedavar shem besimin, but has identifying relation. Then there's no difference. There's no distinction. Mishu said Abin. Relation Mishu said Yoh. Doesn't matter either way. Bein derech avil no chayv. Then you must not, because the owner doesn't disappear. You have identifying marks. Right, the question is, if it's left there, what right do you have to take it? He went to the bathroom, he's going to come back, it's going to be gone. Now you're making him schlep, and then he has to wait for an announcement. No, you're doing him a favor. Don't leave it there, because someone, just like you found it, a guy will find it and will take it. Right.
The homeless will come.
The janitor, whatever. Right, so Rav is being consistent with his approach that any identifying mark, he says, Rav is saying that any identifying mark, even if it's in the public, and it could be erased, is considered a siman. The owner does not disappear. Okay, next page 23, next side, 23b. It says in the Mishnah, if you find a string of fish, so that doesn't have an identifying mark, and you get to keep it. But he says, "My, why leva kesher siman? How he tied it? He can tell you how he tied it." Why doesn't he say a string of meat? Why only fish? With a string of meat, you have other issues called basar shen asalam and ayin. Meat that the eyes was lost, you're not allowed to eat it because you don't know where it came from. You don't know. If your eye doesn't keep guard and watch all times, you know, you're keeping an eye on the kosher meat, meat could easily be exchanged. I don't know which meat, is this kosher meat or not? Don't forget, it's not the animal in front of me, it's a piece of meat. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it's from a kosherly slaughtered animal, it's a kosher piece of meat. Whatever. So unless you're constantly watching and you know exactly the meat is constantly under guard, you're not allowed to eat the meat. But fish is not a problem. Fish is, the Gemara says later, that right, when you find meat in the streets, if you have 9 kosher butchers, you're allowed to eat from it. You say it came from the kosher meat. The Gemara says, but you have another problem here. Forget about it's kosher. Even if you have kosher food in your house, but there's goyim there, and your cabinet is wide open to help. If you're not keeping eye on the meat, it could easily be displaced. I don't know what this piece of meat was kosher.
Open bottle of wine.
Right, so it's prohibited. So what does it help me that you follow the majority? It's Basar Solomon Ayin. But it says, no, since he found strings, since it's string, so you can identify it by the string meat. So you know, it came from the kosher butcher. So here the Gemara says, no, that a string, you don't follow the string. It's not an identifying mark.
They use fisherman's knots, which everybody knows is standard.
Right, it's not an identifying mark. Because in Tesefta he says it's not only fish, it's also meat.
Like
also meat, you're allowed to keep it, and you're allowed to eat. But here he's saying that you can't. It's not an identifying mark, and you get to keep it. So he says because for the Isser of Basar and Salam and Ayin, here we're lenient. When it comes to the prohibition of Basar Salam Ayin, it's considered a siman. You know, it came from a kosher. It's no problem. As long as you can identify it, let's say if it's sealed, it has a label, it's doubly sealed or something, you know, if you have a way to identify it that it wasn't tampered with. So the fact that it's string tells me it wasn't tampered with, that's all. It tells me it wasn't tampered with. The guy didn't take it and exchange it for non-kosher meat. So for that, it's enough. It's enough that it's string. But here, to identify it, for the owner to be able to identify it, I need something more, something stronger. Just the string. Like your mother says, here we're talking about the kutra de tzayde. This is a regular string. The kula alma, everyone ties it that way. So there's nothing identifying about it. Take the mother of 11 minyan simon. I can tell you how many fish are there. How many fish are string? Only the owner would know. The mother answers, yeah, we're shoving. We're talking about it's standardized.
10 fish per string.
Exactly. So again, there's nothing to identify.
Unless it's unusual.
Talking about he found a standardized string fish. Everyone does it. There's nothing to identify it. So then the owner of the spears, and then you get to keep it. The Rav Sheshet, they ask for Rav Sheshet's minion, have a simon, have a simon. You give a number, a count, is it a simon or not? If he knows exactly how many. Amalu, Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet's answer, Nisu, I'll bring you a brais. Right? I'm not just going to give you my opinion. I'll tell you a brais, a proof. Yeah. If a person finds silverware, copperware, or he found gistern shalever, or lead, pieces of lead, any metal utensils, you don't think return it, you get to keep it. No, you don't return it to the owner until the person gives a sign. He has the identifying mark in the utensil, actually, unless he can tell you exactly how much it weighs. Only the owner would know that information.
Right.
So what's the proof in this braisa? So the mishkal have a simon. If weight is considered an identifying mark,
right.
Midah, a measurement, and minyan, and exactly how many you found, also have a simon, is also an identifying. So what do we see? In other words, if a weight is considered a simon, how much more so if you give the exact measurement? So which is superior? Which is a superior identifying mark?
They say here that
the measurement.
They say that the weight is the least of the simon.
The weight is the least.
Right.
But else, we're going to learn later on that by a garment, someone finds a garment, and one person gives the exact weight of the garment. Another person gives the exact measurement.
Who are the dimensions?
Dimensions, exact measurement. Who do you give it to? You give it to the one who gives the weight. So we see that weight is more of an identifying mark. This is because garments, who weighs garments? No normal person weighs garments. Only the owner would know. If a person could tell you the weight of a garment, then you know surely he must be the owner. He weighed himself and weighed how much he weighs with the garment, without the garment.
Oh, okay.
In case of utensils, anything else, measurement, precise measurement is more of an identifying mark than weight. That's the halacha, that weight, dimensions, and count is called a simon muvik. It's an identifying mark that biblically you can rely on. Biblically you can rely on, and you must return the object to the owner. Now, Mishnah, Chaticha Shel Basar, person finds pieces of meat, belongs to him, my wife, 11 Mishkala Simon, let him, he can tell you the weight. It's a pound, it's 15 ounces, why? There is an identifying mark. But the answer is Mishkala the Shavi. All the pieces have the same weight. Everyone, they cut, it's the butcher's cut, the butcher's cut, it's all the same weight.
Every piece is 4 ounces, right. Whatever.
How he cuts it should be a simon. He can tell you which cut it is. Is it prime rib?
Is it the back of the animal?
Right.
Or the neck of the animal?
Yeah, exactly. What? Oh, the dafke. If it's from the neck, the atma from the legs, or a different part of the animal. Mila Tanya, didn't we learn the braitz and matzachatichas dog? The dog noshon. If you find pieces of fish or a fish. A fish that's bitten, has a bite in it. Chayilach, that's an answer, because it's an identifying mark. Chavish, shal yayin, barrels of wine, shal shemen and oil, shal tavua, of kernels of grain, shal gregres, and then dried figs, shal zesim, and olives. And elu shaloh, you get to keep it.
Yeah, but what is a fig? What identifies the fig?
A barrel, there's no identifying mark.
Well...
So here we're talking about he found one barrel, right? One single barrel of wine, of oil, whatever, and since it has no identifying mark, you can keep it. When he says in the ratio, he says in the beginning of the Bereis, if you find a fish, we're not talking about many fish, he can tell you how many fish he found. We're talking about one piece of fish. And he says you have to announce it, you can't keep it. What's the identifying mark here exactly? We're talking about a fish that has no identifying mark. It's one fish, has no identifying mark. Okay, the fish that has a bite in it, okay, the bite is an identifying mark. Maybe the owner took a bite in it, so he can identify it. But the regular, he starts out, a piece of fish. Surely it must be the cut. He can tell you if it's the head of the fish, it's the tail of the fish, it's this fish, and that's considered an identifying mark. So too, he can tell you which cut you found. So you might answer... How am I skiing? You know, we're talking about every day. The Braise is talking about the Ika Simana the Pisgah.
And the meat should be the same.
How it's cut, not what cut of fish it was, the head or the middle or the end. the tail. No, there is a siman how it was sliced. He heard that Rabbi Rav Huna, like in case of Rabbi Rav Huna, mechatech at lots of carnes, when he would send meat to his wife through a goy, so you have a question of basar and salama, maybe the goy will exchange it for a piece of chazer or a piece of non-kosher meat. So he made an identifying mark. He would cut it like a triangle. So therefore, she would know, she can tell that this is the meat that her husband sent, that it's kosher. So too, we're talking about the identifying mark is the special cut, how he sliced it. Not which cut of fish it is, how he sliced the fish. To prove it, Diktani dugme dumya the dagnashrach. He says the two together. He found a piece of fish. He found a fish, and he found a fish that has a bite in it. So it's similar. In other words, the identifying mark is the bite in the fish. So too, a piece of fish, the identifying mark is the how it was sliced, whether it was like a triangle, how it was cut. Shmami, no, it's a proof. Okay. It says in the Braise that you just quoted, if you find a barrel of wine, oil, of grain, or a dried figs, or of olives, it belongs, finders keeper. But we're going to learn later on in the Mishnah, if you find barrels of wine, or barrels of oil, you must announce it, you have to return it to the owner. The Gemara answers, "I'm an Abzeid. I'm an Masnisim Bidarshon." The Mishnah is talking about when there's a mark. Bidarshon. Okay, so he's saying, but they used to fill the barrel of wine in the fall, Tishrei time.
They would
leave it there for a few months. Not only do they cover it, they would smear it with with cement, like to keep
sealed
to keep the odor in, to keep it fresh. Then in the month of Shvat, they would open it up to taste it. Now some would, and then they would go to bring it to sell and listen to sell
first
it.
First, they taste to make sure it's turned to vinegar.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Now some people would keep it open. Once you opened it, left open. Others would seal it again.
Right.
So Rashi says the fact that he can identify and say that these barrels were resealed with clay, that means he must be the owner. Because some, how do you know it was resealed? Taisa says, no, that's not enough. Because a lot of people reseal it. It's just a safe bet. No, some do, some don't. But it's one or the other. That's your choice. So you guessed right. I mean, that doesn't prove anything. What he means is, as they seal it, each one would seal it in his own unique way or leave a mark in the seal. So he identifies the mark in that seal. That's how Taisa says. So the Mishnah is talking about Bedarshan. So Gemara says Miklal the Braisa Besuach. The Braisa was talking about we left it open. He didn't seal it. If you left it open, surely you get to keep it. Aveda Midazi. If he left it open, and anyone could drink it, right? Anyone could go in. There's no cover. He left it open. Anyone could go in. Right. So sure, that means it's a free for all. He doesn't care about it. He left it. Anyone could take it. If he left it for the bugs, surely you can keep it. No, he put the cover on. The bugs can't access it, but he didn't seal it. He didn't seal it with the clay. Exactly. Abaye says, "I feel the tame meeting with the Bidashim." Really, I can tell you both the Mishnah and the Braise are talking about easy. He resealed it. Like, Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Khan, the Mishnah is talking about Kodim Shaniftcho Eitre. Before he opened it up to sell. Very few people at that time before he opened up the cell. Khan over here, Lachnif was after he opened it up the cell.
You know, before the selling season.
Exactly. You're not going to find.
They're all sealed from before.
Exactly. Sellers. So you're not going to find reseals. If he tells me before and it was resealed, he must be the owner. Right. But after everyone reseals it, so that's not an identifying mark. It says. According to Taisvus, Ereshim means the owner makes an identifying mark. So what's the difference before the season or after the season? The owner hasn't made an identifying mark, and the resealing, why can't he identify it? Taisvus says, because once they open to taste it, to sell it, he'll sell it to many people. He's a wholesaler. So he can have the same siman could belong to many people now.
Yeah.
He sold it. Yes, he made he resealed it and he made an identifying mark in the seal. But the one owner, he's a wholesaler. He sold it to 15 different people. So how do I know? Who it belongs to? Oh, like the episode that happened with Rabbi Yaakov ben Abba, Ashkech Chavisa de Chamra, Rabbi Yaakov found a barrel of wine. And it was sealed, resealed. The Achashnivcha is after the time that everyone opens the barrel and then reseals. Also, kind of came before Abaye. Amalei says, you're going to have to keep it. You got lucky, it's your lucky day. You have wine for Shabbos. You have wine for Purim. This is the season, March, right? April. Yeah. Okay, boy, menei Rabbi Rav Nachman, Rabbi asked from Rav Nachman, Mokim, have a siman, have a siman. That the location where it was lost, is it considered a siman or not? Or if he tells you, I found it in this address, tell me what I found. Amalei Rav Nachman answered, so I'll bring you a proof from the Barayis, we just learned. If you find barrels of wine, dried figs, and olives, you get to keep it. Why? He can let him announce and let you tell me what I found in this location, or vice versa. I'll tell you what I lost, and you tell me what I found. Where it was? Said, my skin. No, we're talking about but accident. He found it at the edge of the river.
Riverbank.
Yeah, where you unloaded it from the boats.
By the docks.
By the docks. It was unloaded, so it's left there. So there's no cement. There's no location. I found it.
Everybody,
where do you find it?
Whose
barrel
is it, right?
Right. My time. What's the reason? Why did the rabbi say Benax and not have a simon? Why isn't there a simon? I'm in the lake. You're the only one who lost things by the docks. Everything loses things. Things get unloaded and things are forgotten. How do I know it's yours? No, maybe you did lose, but how do I know this is yours? Your friend also lost something. He can have others say, I'm Rabbi, my time, I'm Rabbi, why the rabbi say, Mokim, loy have a simon. In general, a place is not a simon. But why do you say that if a person knows Mokim, that it was at the river, have a simon, that didn't let me say to him, just like you placed it, the barrel, you placed it by the river, your friend also placed it by the river. According to the first version, the owner's claims, I left it at the river. He doesn't say where in the river, he doesn't specify. Just in general, I lost it by the river, by the edge of the river, by the dock. So we say, okay, your friend also. Here we're saying even more so, even if he says, I lost it here, by this dock, by Pier 21.
Right.
Well, you're not the only one who can lose it at Pier 21. Even that's not enough of a simon. It says, Ahu gabre de ashkach kufre be marzit. He found tar. He found tar by the wine press. Also, the comment that Rabbi came before Rav. What's the din? Amalei said, Rav said to him, Zil Shkel, now keep it. Chazid Rav, come on, Chazim. So Rav saw that he was hesitant. He was hesitant. He wasn't sure if it's his right to keep it. Go and give half of it, give it to my son. In other words, don't worry, I'm telling you it's 100% kosher, a lot kosher, you can keep it. I'll even tell you can give it to my son. Okay, so what Lema Kesavarading Mother says, let's say that Rav holds Mokim Rav Simon. Why did he give it? Why did he say he get to keep it? He can identify the place. He found it by the wine press. In other words, there's no proof that in general Rav holds that a place is not a simon, that Rav holds like Rav. No, maybe Rav holds like Rav, like Rav, that a place is a simon. But in this case was different. Here, surely the owner gave up hope. Even if you hold that a location is an identifying mark, In this case, the only why, because the kadche bechilfe, things grew in the tar, thorns. In other words, it was there for such a long time. Surely the owner gave up hope. It's an indication the owner surely gave up hope. Okay. Come to the last piece of the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Elazar Eimer, the clay ampuria. You don't have to announce. You don't have to. You can get the keep. You keep it. My ampuria. What's ampuria? What's clay ampuria? The mother explained to Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, kelim chadoshim, shli sabzonai, new vessels that the owner isn't used to it. It's brand new. He didn't get you. He can't identify just by looking at it. You know, things that you have for a long time, you take one look, even though it doesn't have any identifying mark, you recognize. Here, he didn't have time to recognize it because to become familiar with it, he just bought it brand new. You might have him. How was he is besimmen? If there is an identifying mark in these vessels, utensils, who cares if it's brand new? I have an identifying mark. If it doesn't have an identifying mark, who cares if he recognizes it, if his eyes are satiated with it? In other words, he's been with it so long that he recognizes it. It doesn't help. There's no identifying mark. So you might answer later, less with him. It has no identifying mark. The difference is, if a rabbi, a Torah scholar, If he tells you, he looks at it and he says, I recognize it, you have to give it to him because he's telling the truth. He indeed recognizes it and he's telling the truth and it belongs to him, you have to return it to him. But if it's brand new, then even the Torah scholar, he has no idea. He didn't become familiar. He has no time to become familiar with it. He has no time to be able to recognize it. Like, you don't have to return it to him. Even if a Torah scholar, he says it's mine, you don't have to return it. Why? Why only a Torah scholar? We conclude with this. The only three things that a rabbi is going to change his word. Rabbis are notoriously honest. Everything they say is they're telling the truth. They live their life by the truth. So they make sure not to even say a lie, not to even utter a lie. But there are three things that they're allowed to change the truth, bend the truth a little, be a little diplomatic. What are the three things? B'mesechta, they ask him, what are you learning? What are you studying? So they ask him, are you familiar with this tractate, with this? So he's allowed to say no, I'm not. Or if he asks him which mesechta he's learning, he's allowed to answer, I'm learning a different mesechta. Or bepuria, they asked if he had intercourse, he doesn't have to answer. He can say no. He can lie because it's modesty, out of modesty. It's not, you know, it's private. It's not none of your business. Taisa says, who's going to ask someone? Who's going to ask you, were you intimate with your wife last night? It's completely rude. It's inappropriate. But we're talking about a Torah scholar who didn't come to shul because he had an incident. Keri, he didn't come to the base of medicine of the Kail because he had an incident. And he wasn't pure, so ask him in the Beis HaMedrash, why? Or you were with your wife last night, that's why you didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash. So he says no, even though he did, but he doesn't have to answer the truth. He says, did you sleep in this bed? So he doesn't have to answer, because maybe there's a semen there, he doesn't want, you know. So he can answer no. And the third thing is, 24a, Bishpizin. They asked him, if your host was gracious, you know, you can say no because you don't want to burden your host. You're going to publicize that this person's a great host. Everyone will be knocking on their door. You're going to impoverish them. No, if you want to praise him in front of good people, then it's a wonderful thing. You should publicize and praise him in public, but only in front of people who are not going to take advantage of it. If you praise him, people are just going to take advantage. Then you should be careful. What's the principle behind all these three things? They allow to change the truth to keep the peace. And where do we learn this from? We learn this from Hashem himself, God Almighty himself. Hashem changed the truth, told a little lie to keep the peace. when Sarah laughed, right? When she heard from the angels that she's going to have a child, she laughed. What did she say? My husband is so old, he's 99. No, she said, my husband is so old. Hashem changed. Hashem told Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? She says, I am too old. It wasn't the truth. She didn't say, I'm too old. She said, my husband is too old. Hashem changed the truth to keep the peace in the house. You know, to keep a marriage, you have to have a little diplomacy. Marriage is not the court of law. If marriage was a court of law, there would never in heaven. That's why in heaven there are no marriages. All marriages are made in heaven. There are marriages because heaven is truthful. In a place which is absolute truth, there's no room for marriage. Marriage, you have to have a little diplomacy, you have to have a little white lie, a little exaggeration, a little. Giving three examples of things that, for the sake of peace, you can tell a little white lie. You know, there's room for diplomacy. You know, what's the difference? That these three things you're allowed. That if a person comes and he says, I recognize this utensil, do I have to return it to him or not? There's no identifying mark. I should trust you. You recognize it. So, if we know that this Torah scholar is so honest, that he never, his word is a word, he never changes his word, with these three exceptions that he gave, then on his word, if he says, I recognize, it's not a new vessel. He had enough time to get used to it, and then to recognize it, then we have to return it to him based on his words, because he's an honest person. But if he changes his word, we catch him by a lie. Anything other than these three cases, or anything that's not involved with to keep the peace, then you don't return it to him. Everyone have a wonderful day. Have a good Shabbos and a Freilich HaPurim.